You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
This is episode 6, season 2, Soul Trader podcast. Corey, I was so impressed by Corey's beautiful clapperboard clap then.
It
was the perfect
reverberate through the whole house.
Yes, we're back out of the void again, back at your place.
Yeah,
but jumping all over the place at the moment, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. It's proving that the mobile podcasting setup is doing its job.
The mobileness.
Yeah.
Of our setup. It's all good. So I think last week we were talking about our fringe show and the nerves of show one and all that kind of jazz. And then
that's right.
We've had show two.
Yes.
On Sunday, which was
that went very well.
Yeah, I think it was more relaxed and it was the second time around, so.
Yeah. Well, we knew what to expect, so.
Yeah, there was less unknowns. There was more like, you know, you're walking a path you've walked before.
Yeah.
So it felt a bit more. I think it came across as well as it felt, just more relaxed, more. You could kind of get into the flow a little bit more, into the kind of back and forth between the two of us a little bit more, which is part of who we are on stage and things like that, the kind of lighthearted, jovial back and forth that we kind of tend to have. Mm. So it was fun. And you've also had another show that you've been doing.
Yes. Well,
did last night.
Last night was one show only. That was the Songs in the Key of Sting show, which was pretty bloody good.
Yeah,
you know, and so that was just that show, and I'm still sort of recovering from that because I mean, there's a lot of energy goes into a show like that.
Yeah,
and there's also five people on stage, including myself. So there's, you know, bass, drums, guitar, keys, and a rather nifty trumpet player as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, watching. There was a kind of a sense, like I know the three of you have been together, just drums, guitar, bass,
yep.
You know, doing this for a while and doing kind of more, I guess, up-tempo shows rather than this unplugged thing. But it was interesting that one because I was kind of watching it kind of going, it's kind of, you were very much the focal point. I mean, I know that I guess the singer is generally the focal point. But you had all the lights on you. Everybody else, you know, didn't seem to have as many lights on them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And obviously, did a nice bass change, which got a lot of kind of response from the crowd. And then you obviously did a song solo at the end by yourself on the guitar.
Mm.
So it kind of, you know, there was just a sense that it was kind of like, this is Corey's show and he's got his band with him. Do you know what I mean? I know it's not that because I know that the show was kind of, you know, put together in a sense by one of the other band members was the main kind of driving force behind getting that show up and running. But
yeah, it was the drummer, actually, yeah, Dave.
Just just the sense that it was kind of,
well, that's what it felt like to me as well.
Yeah,
you know, it was like, yeah, this is my show, and I had to do bugger all to organise it. That was great. I mean, we all had a hand in, of course, promoting it and getting as many people there as you do with any show in that particular context, you know, a fringe or a festival. That's what you do. But it wasn't necessarily. I mean, it was an idea that we had fostered for a while, and just thought, well, you know, we wanted to incorporate more Sting stuff into what it is that we do.
Yeah.
And this would be the perfect way to do it. And the last Adelaide Fringe, the year before, we played as the full sort of three-piece, just rocking out the Police at a larger venue.
Mm.
The guy that was organising the venue this year, moved from that larger venue to the smaller venue that we played.
Yep.
And he wanted us to do the Police, but felt that it was too loud
right.
for the venue. So we said, well, how about if we get a couple of other people? We've been talking about this for a while and do an unplugged thing. And that was the only way that we could get in on the bill, is if we did that. That was the whole reason why it came about. But it just coincided with the fact that we had been discussing that particular idea, because, you know, it's good enough that we could go and do little tours, you know, sort of in between, because a couple of guys work in school, so it'd have to be in school holidays and all of that sort of stuff, and of course it would be in between what it is that we're doing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, it's that particular performance sort of instilled faith in myself that I could get up there and put on an amazing show. Not that I couldn't do that with Soul Trader. I mean, I felt that as well, but it was just different, you know.
Because
the whole focal point was there.
And those shows are a little bit, there's it's not, your performance in that, it's not theatrical, but I think whenever you're doing kind of tribute type stuff, there's an element of theatre about it, in the sense that people know what's coming.
It's inferred.
There's no.
That's right.
I mean, and some big bands have that. Like, I mean, Kiss would be a classic example that, you know, Paul Stanley has a default introduction for every song, and as soon as he starts talking, everybody knows what the song is and starts kind of cheering.
Sure.
And, you know, people know roughly what the set is going to be. I was surprised. I thought you might have done that. You might have done even more Sting stuff and only, you know, like, because there's so much stuff of his. I was thinking that you might, because you still had a lot of Police stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I thought you might have even gone more, you know.
We are planning on doing that in the future. It was only because it was easier to get together, because
of course
we had known all that stuff and we wanted to see how we could acoustify it.
Yes.
Yes. And then, you know, introduce probably more of a 50-50 split. But, I mean, you know, there's been people that have been following us for years that would expect certain songs.
Of course. It's hard when you're doing Police stuff. Right. That there's kind of set worth of songs that people expect.
Exactly. But the thing that really interested me in the whole exercise was, yes, we're doing music that has been done before by, you know, Sting, the Police, etc., etc. But you have a group of people in the rehearsal room. There was a group of people that, you know, we all know each other and we all know how we can play. So it wasn't a matter of us, you know, we'd done our homework because we only had 3 rehearsals and then got up and played, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And a lot of it was just, we knew who was going to start off, but as soon as they started off, there was no set way of doing things. It was mostly improvised. We just know the songs. And the creativity that was needed to just keep those songs going, and everyone was just intently listening to each other, and for me it was one of the best band performances that I've ever been involved with. Like, I felt invincible up on stage, you know, and there's only been, you know, very few times that I've felt that. And, you know, in the back of my mind I was thinking, well, when Soul Trader get a band, you know, sort of doing what it is that we're doing, I mean, that's going to be really cool, because I think that's going to be, it's like, yeah, you know, you and I can do the duo thing, and yes, you and I can, you know, do all that, but having an ensemble behind the songs would just elevate it so much more.
Oh, of course.
And of course it just puts more scope and more opportunities to where we can play, how we can get the music out there.
Changes the whole dynamic.
In
the sense that you can just do more because you've got more ways to go, more directions you can go.
And so for me, last night was a vindication for me as to how you can take one thing and turn it into another without diluting the effectiveness of the music in the first place. And that was a really important lesson for me to learn.
Yeah.
And
It's interesting, actually. I reckon there's some people who are scared taking that kind of risk. Mm. I mean, not to circle back to Kiss again, but I mean, I was in a Kiss band once, and we were going to do the Kiss songs, but we weren't going to do them in makeup. We were just going to do the entire career. This is before Kiss put the makeup back on.
Sure.
So I was like, Kiss haven't got makeup on anymore. We want to do songs that they didn't do with makeup. So it was more like a tribute to the music kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really playing the parts. It was just playing the songs.
Yeah.
Now, maybe taking that one step further, the better way to do it would be to do a Kiss cover, a Kiss band where you're doing like an acoustic kind of thing, because people would still love the songs. The songs are still good.
Yeah.
But you put a different kind of spin on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it came across really well. I mean, it worked really well. I was going to say, was just thinking about it. We were talking earlier before we kind of pressed record, came on air. You know, and it's probably a way to kind of segue into it is we were talking about the live experience, and not only from an audience perspective, but from an artist perspective, that live experience versus the streaming experience, which is obviously there has been a lot of streaming over the last couple of years with the pandemic and the lack of travel. But then also, you know, we're going to make streaming a regular part of what we do.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd just kind of chat about the kind of the difference in experience in what it's like to play live and then what it's like to play live but over the internet, and how it kind of differs and just the feelings around that.
Yeah. Well, anyone that says that live streaming is on the same playing field as a live experience, as in a live performance, or better, or is the same, are kidding themselves.
Yeah.
I think one of the main mistakes that that artists have made in terms of streaming live is that they equate that as the same way as a live performance experience with the audience right there in front of you. Live streaming and live performance, sort of in the flesh, is different. You know, they're two different experiences and should be treated as two different experiences, and should be, the way that you plan a live performance or a live streaming. You don't plan a live streaming as if you're going to be performing live in front of people in the flesh. It's like it's just a completely different animal. The way that
You don't have to wear pants.
Well, you don't have to wear pants if you're sitting down. Even if your live streaming is, you know, rock out with your cock out.
Yeah.
You know. But you could do that. You know, with people right in front of you as well. I mean, you know, you may have a couple, you know, have a stroke.
Hang on, is the stroke anything to do with it?
You take that any way that you want. But reminded me of two nuns in the car, but I'm not going to go down that one. They are two different animals,
and they
need to be treated as such. And if you equate live streaming in the same way as live performance, well, then the differences between the two are going to be really, really adamant and really, really highlighted if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the thing we've both been able to do in recent times is not only play, but play in front of audiences who came to listen to music.
Yeah.
So obviously on a regular kind of basis, a lot of our, you know, probably the majority of our live gigs, if you just talk about number of gigs, have been to kind of pub crowds who aren't necessarily there to listen to live music. But the ones we've done recently have been to, you know, crowds who are there to listen to us specifically. And obviously
they've paid money to listen to what it is that we're doing rather than, you know, them just happening to be there.
When rather than a countermeal. And
yeah.
Yeah. And so that changes it as well, I guess, in the sense that that experience for the audience is a much more concert-like experience.
Yeah.
And I certainly, I mean, I was in the audience last night for your show last night, but being an audience member for that versus a live stream is very different. But as from an artist's perspective, you know, the thing you get after the audience doesn't disappear when a performance in a venue ends, especially in, you know, the smaller environments where you can kind of go out and mingle with the audience afterwards.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're, you know, Bon Jovi, you don't just wander out into the foyer sure. after the show. But whereas with the live streaming experience, it's kind of you do it, and then when it finishes, it's like when you end a FaceTime call,
yeah.
You know, not a business one, but like a Zoom call with friends or family or something like that from yeah. You haven't seen or whatever, and they're a long way away, is that when it finishes, you're by yourself again.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with live streaming, is that you can then go back and look through the comments, so there is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But you are, you know, it would be like if you went, imagine being in a live venue and you're just going to go, thank you very much, and then the audience just disappeared.
Yeah.
And you were standing there in a venue by yourself.
But then again, if you say thank you very much, you turn around and go to the dressing room behind the stage, well, then that's exactly the same thing.
It is, but you still feel there's still the adrenaline. The audience is there. You're still going to hear, the audience potentially leaving the venue, and, you know, there's just that energy in the room.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist in the streaming space.
The thing is, though, is that this is where the difference is between a live experience and a live streaming concept comes into play, because you're saying that after a live performance, you can go out and mingle with the crowd. Yes, absolutely, because you can't do that while you're up on stage performing to people en masse, really, because your job is to be up there providing the experience for yes. the audience in front of you. However, with a live streaming experience,
yeah,
it's even though you're playing to a camera and you know that and you know how many people are watching, it's a more intimate thing, because you can have that meeting the audience after the show while you're doing the show, because the comments are coming up and you can.
Yeah.
You know, as you're introducing, oh, yeah, g'day, Frank. Yep, no worries. Yep, good to see you again. You know, and all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's where exactly. that's the differences between a live streaming performance and a live performance in front of people comes into play. Because, you know, imagine doing a live streaming in which you treat it exactly like a live performance and you don't talk to anyone, even though people are streaming the comments and they're watching and they're doing all that. You're just ignoring that, because you're just playing, you know, music one after the other and just doing your live show. I mean, the people that are watching you are going to feel ignored. Whereas in a live performance, if they're there in the flesh,
yes.
they don't want you to spend too much time sort of interacting with too many people, because they want you to actually do the show. So people look at a live stream differently to if they're actually in the audience physically and yeah. watching your show. But still, the experience can be the same. It's just it comes from a different angle, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't think that there's it's not one is good and the other is bad.
No, there's no pros and cons. It's just different.
Well, they both have their pros and cons, basically. Sure, yeah. I mean,
but not in relation to each other, though. It's not like, you know, streaming is better because this and live performance isn't. It's like in each of those settings, there's good and bad. But
yes,
you're not comparing apples with apples with streaming. No, you're not really.
I mean, the only comparison would be where you can compare is kind of go, well, the great thing about streaming that live doesn't allow is that obviously, you know, during a pandemic, but, you know, if we can't get to your place in the world right at the moment, you can have a really different experience. Exactly. Not the same experience, but a different experience.
You are hamstrung by geographical location.
Yeah, so the great thing about the online stuff is the fact that when we do those, we've got people tuning in from all over the place.
Exactly.
And so that's really exciting because it means you're reaching a much wider audience. But you're able to connect with those fans, those people, when you can't get to them.
Yeah.
So we can't get to you at the moment for whatever reason. But hey, here's a live stream updating on what we're doing. And I mean, and on the flip side, you know, there may be occasions where, you know, you and I are somewhere else in the world and we do a live stream, you know, on a Sunday morning from a hotel room and people back in Adelaide can tune in on a Sunday night. So,
exactly.
You know, the flip side can work in the sense that those people then get to kind of catch up with what we're doing on the road and, you know, where we're at with things. I did hear an interesting, I haven't finished listening to it, but it's a conversation between Jordan Peterson and Jimmy Carr about comedy.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah. So I've only started listening to it, but okay. one thing I thought was really interesting that Jimmy Carr brought up was he said, you always remember if you go to a live concert, you remember that experience.
Yeah.
And he was talking, comparing it to a YouTube video. He said, you don't remember going, oh, that day I sat down and watched that clip on YouTube. He goes, you don't remember that. He goes,
But you do remember watching the clip, though.
You potentially remember watching the clip, but live experience is just kind of embed themselves.
Oh, yeah, it is different. Yeah.
But I do think that streaming falls somewhere in the middle because it can touch an individual when, for example, you know, they're on a live stream and they request a song and then you address them directly and then play the song.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, that could be like, for somebody it could be like, that was so cool. I love it when they play that song and they play it for me or they commented. And I know that there's lots of comments, but...
Well, they own a little bit of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're invested a lot more than if they were just passively watching it because they are part of the experience. And live streaming should never, and I'm not saying that we look at it this way, but live streaming should never be considered a poor person's alternative to a physical live performance. It's just different.
Yeah.
And they're both as important as each other.
Oh.
You know, and the only thing that is, that live streaming needs to do, you know, the concept of live streaming, you know, that it needs to do to catch up to the physical live performance is more of a technological thing, you know, working out how to properly monetize it, how to properly provide the experience that you want to, you know, provide for the people that are watching. And it's mostly just technological, you know, you are hamstrung by internet speeds and sort of compatibility of software to hardware and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of the delivery of performance is exactly the same.
Yeah. Absolutely. Look, I think the other thing that falls into the kind of mix is that you've got, like we've been talking about it a little bit with house concerts. So our aim is to, with Soul Trader, is to provide say a theatre show, festival show, those sorts of shows, a gig you go to, it's amplified, it's in a venue.
Mm-hmm.
Those sorts of experiences are a bit more, you know, dynamic sound-wise, you know. You were talking earlier about maybe having a band at some point, but I mean, even just with the two of us, you know, introducing electric guitars and bass and, you know, just doing stuff more dynamically. And then we've got the house concert experience, which is very intimate, two acoustic guitars, two voices, very raw, which is a little bit more like what we do on the live streaming. And what I was going to say is the interesting thing with the live stream is it kind of, it forms the other kind of,
it's a house concert by proxy, isn't it?
Kind of.
Really?
Kind of. It has elements of the house concert in the sense that it's a little bit more intimate.
Yeah.
It's also, but it's, but then again, you know, it can potentially be a little bit giggish because there is, you know, there is a little bit of removal in the sense that you're not in the same room as the person. You're not sitting there on the floor in your lounge room with this person standing literally right in front of you. Mm. They're on a screen. So there is that. But the other thing is it's working out how you kind of fit that into the mix. And I think the way we kind of want to plan to evolve it, I guess, is that live streaming is a regular part of what we do, but it also becomes an opportunity to, you know, play new songs.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we wouldn't go into a house concert with a song we've never played before and or played a lot, and we wouldn't have gone on stage if we hadn't played it a lot. And in this day and age, you're more than likely if we release an album, you're more than likely to have heard those songs somewhere before.
Yeah.
You're not getting a song you've probably never heard before because we're taking people along for the ride.
Yeah.
And live streaming is a place where, hey, do you guys want to hear a new song? And people are going to go, yeah. And in that environment, it can be a little bit, you know, hey, look, we're just getting this together, just experimenting with it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, it's
doing
kind of
things that you wouldn't do in a physical setting.
Yeah. And making it unique in itself. So it's like it's like the three pillars of live performance: house concerts, you know, festival gigs or gigs, maybe call them gigs.
Yeah.
And then streaming is the kind of third.
Yeah.
And doing something, as you said before, it's not just a live gig that you're doing. It is a conversation with an audience, which makes it a little bit more house concert-ish, but then it's got other elements to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it can also be a bit more conversational as well, potentially, in the sense that we could do a live stream where we play a few songs, but we are also, like I said, if we were on the road, we could do a live stream where we're just catching up with people, you know, and we're kind of letting everybody know what we're up to and how the tour is going or something like that. I mean, a live stream can be many things. It doesn't necessarily... Yeah.
And also too, I mean, if you're having a regular live streaming, if you're having regular live streaming gigs,
yes,
you could get really interactive with your audience if they become more regular,
of course,
as well. So it's like, okay, you know, let's hear from the audience, you know. Throw some really cool song titles at us or something like that, and we'll see if we can write a song for the next time that we stream. And the thing is that if because you know, if there was a way in which audiences could, you know, let us know what their email address is and all that sort of thing, and if some say, you know, Joe Blogs has this really cool song title and it's like, oh yeah, we could do something like that, we contact Joe and say, we're going to write a song with that fantastic idea, and we're going to perform it next week.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you come along and get some people to listen to it because your song's going to be played, you know, or something like that. You know, and then you start becoming a little bit more interactive because you can, you know. It's like, you know, next week we're going to be doing another live stream, and hey, who knows, you know, one of your ideas may get turned into a song or something like that. I don't know. I mean, just those sort of things are coming through my head. I mean, I just love the potential interactive nature of sort of finding new ways to sort of communicate with the audience, even though they're not physically there.
Yeah.
That's for me is the exciting part of live streaming, is you're able to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you've kind of got, you know, older technology, you have things like talkback radio where people can engage and interact, and you know, with streaming, there's I mean, and it's not like with streaming you can, you know, set it up so you can literally pull people on camera and put them on screen. I mean, some people do that with their live streams where they're having kind of a conversation about something and they want to, you know, they're maybe having a political discussion and they bring people on and just, you know, talk around the person's questions or opinions.
Sure.
But I think that there's a whole range of kind of potential ways of interacting with your audience where you can do it, you know, instead of, you know, you could do it just on social media or just through a mailing list or a online form where you get people to vote. But the other thing is, you could kind of go, no, we're going to make a decision kind of right now on this live stream. You know, we've got a few t-shirt designs or something like that. We've had people submit designs for a new Soul Trader t-shirt, and we're going to, on this live stream, you know, and you can announce it in advance, say, come and join us on Sunday because we've got some designs. You do screen sharing.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, share the designs, and then you kind of get people to vote, and it's just like vote in our poll, and you know, you can do things like that with live stream. So, you know, there's a whole range of different things that I think you can kind of add to it. And as you said, I think right at the kind of start is that the mistake is thinking that it's just about playing a gig. I mean, I don't think that live streaming gigs works kind of, not whole gigs, you know, works quite so well, because there's, if you're sitting in a venue performing to an audience and then you've got a camera just shooting you,
yeah,
they're kind of getting a bird's eye view of what's happening, but they're not really engaged in the event the way the way the people are in the room, and you can't engage with them without ignoring the people in the room.
Oh, right, you're talking about an actual streaming of the live physical show. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but
I mean, that again is a different kettle of fish. It's that's not the same as live streaming in a room to a camera. You know, it's but also too, it's like you're you should be recording that as well and then repurposing it
as clips or something like
that. Yeah. So you know, at the end of the day, it's irrelevant whether. Whether you know the people watching it, well, it's not irrelevant that they're not enjoying it, but that particular purpose becomes null and void because you're repurposing it for something else anyway. It's just something that you're doing to create more content, more music, more opportunity to cast the net out, saying, you know, this is Soul Trader, here we are, and we're coming at you by all means necessary. Hop on the bus. We'll drive you to we'll drive you to Funky Town, you know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I've in the past I've streamed a few gigs where I've just whacked on, you know, Facebook Live or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when I've been playing like a pub gig, but you can't really kind of, you know, you've got your phone somewhere where, so it's far enough away that it can see you, and you can't like read any of the comments in between songs. And so it becomes a really kind of weird experience where you can see people are watching and see people are commenting, but you can't kind of address any of it.
I think, you know, if people are sort of seeing something like that, I mean, I know a few performers in Adelaide that do that from time to time, and they've got the phone sort of down. You've got like you know, a view of their sort of face and their guitar as they're playing, as if you're lying on the ground type of thing, you know. And sometimes they'll look at the camera and go, there's, you know, they'll look at their watch and say, there's still time, get off your bloody couch, get in the car and come down here because I'll buy you a drink or something like that, you know. And maybe someone will go, yeah, shit, that's a great idea. I think I'll do
free
that.
Beer.
It looks like, well, you're going to buy me beer, all right, no worries, you know. I'll take you up on that offer. So, you know, I mean, you know, the any particular way that you sort of record what it is that you do, you can turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
But I think it's inferred that, you know, if I type in, oh, hi, such and such, and they're playing in the pub, they're not going to reply back, and I'm not going to feel offended that they're not going to.
Oh, no, no, you know, no, of course. I mean, yeah.
You know, some situations, you know, is going to be really obvious that, no, they're too busy, like, performing to the people that are out in the audience to take much notice. I mean, in between songs, they'll go look down, oh, Corey, oh, g'day, mate. What are you doing there? You should be over. I'll buy you beer. Come over, you know.
Yeah.
I know you live up the road from the pub. Come on, what are you talking, you know.
I mean, I've seen people who do it who then complain. So they'll like put the Facebook Live on, and then they'll be talking to the camera more than they'll be dressing whoever's in the room.
Yeah.
But they'll be complaining about how shit the gig is. And I'm just like,
but they're idiots. Because
these people still get more gigs, and it's just like,
and the pub or the venue that they're playing at has the same access to that footage as everybody else. And they're hearing them bag the pub. Yeah, but that's
the thing that amazes me.
I know.
But yeah, I mean,
but that's how treating one form of one form of putting out the message exactly the same as another form putting out the message is fraught with danger. You know, you've got to take each of these mechanisms of promoting yourself, whether it be offline or online, you've got to use it for what it is and on its merits.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, there have been times where I've seen, you know, and there are you know, two or three performers that do that, and I just cringe. It's just like, don't do that, because they you know, what you're biting off the hand that feeds you. It's like, what are you doing? You know.
What amazes me is that I've seen people do it and then they still get all the gigs. And I'm just like, I don't understand. If I would never want somebody like that back in my venue who sits there and complains and says this gig, you're the person who's meant to be entertaining the people. So one, you're making the experience more shit because you're too busy talking to your phone.
Yeah.
And you didn't draw a crowd? Okay. So there's nothing much special about you then? Or is it because people got sick of you talking to your phone so they stopped coming to watch? I don't know. You know,
like I don't know.
One of those things that kind of fascinates me, but...
it just goes to show that, you know, we as musicians are our own worst enemies at times.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
But no, I mean, this is not necessarily a discussion about sort of why people who bag venues get more gigs at the same venue.
No. But I was going to say, look, if you're listening to this podcast, go and check out our social media. We always post these podcasts across our social media.
You do a great job at actually Facebook and cutting those clips down. It's
Facebook and Twitter would be the best place to kind of probably have a conversation as such.
Yeah.
But you can certainly do that on other platforms as well. But I'd be interested to, for people, if you're listening, you know, it's always nice when people go and comment and stuff like that. But what do you like about the streaming experience versus the live, if you're an audience member of us or other people? Mm-hmm. What have you kind of experienced in a streaming environment that you kind of liked or didn't like? Or, you know, just happy to hear your thoughts, because obviously it all just goes to kind of, you know, we're trying to kind of provide the best experience possible in each of those kind of those three kind of pillars that we spoke about before. And, you know, we think we've got a good idea of what we think we would enjoy kind of being part of if we were, say, interacting with an artist we like.
Mm.
So we're trying to kind of...
Oh, yeah, we've got... I mean, I've certainly...
We've got plenty of opinions.
We've got plenty of opinions.
We're just trying to...
Certainly, you know, got views on that, but...
We're happy to hear yours because obviously, you know, we can be sitting here just going, the audience is going to want this because I like this. But it's always kind of nice to hear other people's kind of thoughts and inputs as to kind of, how you see the streaming space. And I guess we'll kind of, you know... concentrate on that kind of space because I guess, you know, live is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably not a lot they can kind of input into that space as much as in terms of the and I think the streaming space has a lot more scope for, as we've been talking about, the kinds of things you can do in that space and the ways you can do things.
Yeah.
Because of the interactivity. It's a bit more of a free form space. But yeah.
And also too, I suppose live streaming and a physical music performance can be looked at in the same way as working for somebody else or creating your own job.
Right.
So, one of the things that I really like about the live streaming, you know, putting together a live streaming performance is that one, you can do it at any time, and two, you don't have to send EPKs to, you know, promoters and them saying either, oh yeah, or oh no, we're not going to have you in our venue or on our festival thing, because it's like, well, you know, the only way that we would not do a live stream is if we say no to ourselves.
Yes, right? Yes.
So it gives us as performers a regular online residency
that we're totally in control.
That we are totally in control.
Yeah,
of
course. Yeah, absolutely.
And being control freaks as we are, well, I am anyway. But you know, that's important. But
it's rain, hail, or shine. Well, technical issues aside, that
rain, hail, shine, or pandemic, it'll still keep going.
Yes, it's, you know, as long as you're not dealing with technical issues.
True.
It's but other than that, you know, I know what you're saying. It's just like you are free to create your own and create the kind of experience you want to create. And really there's not a lot stopping you from doing that.
But again, it's a matter of physical live performance, live streaming, two different animals, and they're just as important as each other. And you know, as an artist, there's no reason why those two things can't be running concurrent with each other.
Yeah.
To the benefit of yourself and the benefit of the audience that are participating and watching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we've, you know, we've probably talked long enough for another week.
I think so.
On this wee topic.
Feeling more and more awake now.
Just starting to warm up.
Starting to warm up now, yeah. Go out and do another show.
But yeah, look, if you're in Adelaide and you're hearing this podcast close to when it was recorded, we've still got a couple more Soul Trader gigs coming up at the Fringe, basically 6 days and 7 days time. Well, I know when you're hearing this, it'll be less than that because it comes out Friday, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. So
yeah, the 15th and 16th.
16th of March. So, you know, if it's still before that and you haven't caught our show, come along and check it out. We're having a good time and audiences seem to be as well. So that's good. Yeah, interact with us on social media. Come and comment on the posts we put up about this particular episode and give us your thoughts. It's always nice to hear from you guys, just as it is when we're doing live streams. So,
yep, absolutely.
We will we'll speak to you next week.
Cool. No worries. Ciao for now.
See ya.
Been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and Corey Stewart Online.com. See you next week.